So those of you who haven't been here before when Pastor Jesse spoke, you're in for a great treat. Jesse is, what they call they call the general, no, he doesn't want to go there, and major, never mind, I regress. Many of us here, a few of us, a handful of us, have been to missions in the Philippines, and I've been to missions in a couple other places since then. There was nothing like missions in the Philippines. Very anointed. They didn't need us there. We could have just stayed home, but we were a draw. Everybody and every time would go, oh, look, you know, and they'd follow us. So we were there just to draw people. And people were saved every night. People were healed every night. Jesse and his wife are both pastors of numerous churches. I asked him how many. I think he was trying to be humble. He didn't tell me how many. But is about 20. So as soon as they finish building another one church, they start on another one. Their ministry over there is just second to none. Loving Filipinos, it seemed like all of them could sing and play guitar, and all of them were just totally anointed with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to take much more time. I'll introduce him in a minute.
Amen. Thank you, Bob, for that nice introduction, and of course for the warm welcome. And it's always been a blessing to be part of New Life Family. You have invested so much in the country by your prayers and of course by your support. In fact, it was last year that I think it's Bob and Jerry, we sponsored one property for the church building. And this coming October 28th, the church will be celebrating its first anniversary. So I'm inviting Bob to be the guest speaker. The anniversary comes October 28th. And let's continue to pray for the ministry back home. The ministry is growing. We have this opportunity to have connection with the Korean brethren, and they pledge us 100 church buildings in the country, because that's their vision, to help build 100 buildings in the country or build churches in the country. But it so happened that they have no contacts in the Philippines. So they invited me personally to South Korea to speak in the church, and the connection had been established. And we already had collected six new church buildings, and we still need another 94 properties for the 94 buildings that has been pledged to our country. So we really appreciate your prayers and, of course, your investment or support to the ministry back home. We have less than 30 local churches now, with 40 pastors under my supervision. I am pastoring two churches every Sunday. My wife is also pastoring two churches every Sunday. And we are in fellowship with another organization called Kingsway Fellowship International, and they put 50 pastors under my supervision. So the work is really great in the country, and it's the gospel is so open to our people. And so we are so thankful to the Lord that we have ministry partners like New Life Fellowship and other denominations, like another group like CRC and other foreign ministries. And we are so thankful that we have our counterparts, and we are so thankful for that. So this morning, before sharing a very short message, a reminder, let me begin with a song as an expression of my thanksgiving to the Lord. Because if there's one particular verse in the Bible which is very difficult to understand and put into practice, it's in Ephesians chapter 5, which goes like this: in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So this is one of the verses wherein it's very difficult for us to understand, and it's very difficult for us to put it into practice. Another one is Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for all things work together for good. It's easy for us to praise God and thanks the Lord if all the blessings we need are in our pocket or in our hands. But when we struggle, sometimes it's hard to praise the Lord, especially when blessings begin to diminish. But Job chapter 1, verse 21 says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in blessings, in struggle, in testings and trials, we need to praise the Lord. We need to thank the Lord. Even in small blessings, we need to thank the Lord. When you wake up early in the morning, that's a blessing from the Lord. You have a place to lay down during nighttime, it's a blessing from the Lord. If you have something to wear, that's a blessing from the Lord. If you have shoes in your feet, it's a blessing from the Lord. But sometimes we Christians forget to thank the Lord. So the song, the title of the song is Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone, they said I am nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, there's a good place to sleep, there's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, there's a good place to sleep, there's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, there's a good place to sleep, there's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege to, thank you very much. It's a privilege to give thanks to the Lord, even in songs. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, if you had your Bibles with you, please turn with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. So this will be the foundational message this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. beginning from verse 1 down to verse 4. This will be the message this morning. It's not a new kind of message, but a reminder for us how we as dearly loved children of God walk these days. Because in these modern days, we have two challenges. Either the church becoming worldly or the world becoming Christians, especially in the lives of our young generations, especially in these modern times. They call it modern times, a very high-tech times. And this is the two challenges the church had. Either the world becoming Christians or Christians becoming worldly. So which one do we prepare? Are we going to prepare the first statement, the world becoming Christians, or the second one, Christians becoming worldly? But I believe that we all prefer statement number one. We want this world to be converted and become Christians before the coming of the Lord. And the answer lies not in the government, but the answer to this question and challenge lies in the hands of every believer. In fact, even in Matthew chapter 5 or Matthew chapter 6, we have two identities mentioned by Christ himself. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the earth. And then comes the challenge in verse 16, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So by just looking at us and the time we became blessing, we became salt and light to the world, people will come and glorify the Father through us. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, are some practical principles on how we live as dearly loved children of God. In the first place, we are called to become children of God, according to John chapter 1, verse 12, as part of our introduction. But as many as received him, gave them power to become sons and daughters of the living God. We are so thankful that God had no grandchildren. He only had sons and daughters. And we are sons and daughters of the living God. It's quite interesting when we have babies. It's quite interesting to witness how they start, they begin to walk. Sometimes they have this kind of, you know, funny thing while they're learning to become, to walk as children. The same principle applied as Christians, although we are already adult. But the time we receive Christ as our own personal Savior, Paul says that we are babes in Christ, that we need to learn how to walk as children of God. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, the Apostle Paul admonishes us how to walk as dearly beloved in Christ. Verse 1 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. So as dearly loved children, we need to imitate God. He made this statement simple in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, when Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Many people want to follow the footsteps of others. Like, for example, many wants to become Billy Graham someday. Many wants to be Rick Warren or maybe Jack Hayford, Benny Hinn, to name a few. But few wants to follow Christ's footsteps. We have our idols. But then we forgot to follow Christ's footsteps. In fact, many churches aspire to become successful. And there's no wrong with the ministry to become successful. And to measure their success in terms of ABC, which A stands for attendance. How many people attending every church services? How many hundreds attending worship nights every Wednesday night? So they measure their own ministry success in terms of attendance. How many people are attending their services? And of course, letter B stands for building. How big is their building? How big is their property? There's nothing wrong with buildings. We all need buildings. There's nothing wrong with property. And then letter C, cash flow. How much money we collected every offering time? How much money a ministry had at the bank? So they measured ministry success in terms of ABC. But looking at the Bible, the true measurement of success is also ABC. A stands for all becoming Christ-like. That should be the real goal of the church. All becoming Christ-like. The Lord Jesus made it loud and clear to his disciples, follow me, learn from me. That means we need to grow in Christ-likeness. John the Beloved understood this when he wrote these words in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So the very inspiration the church must have is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He knew that when Jesus appears, we shall all be like him, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. He even assured us that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Peter, on the other hand, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, loving you, giving you an example, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Growing in Christ-likeness is a process. It's not an overnight thing. But if you go to bed and then woke up early in the morning, then suddenly you will be proclaiming, wow, it's there. I'm already like Christ. But growing in Christ-likeness is a process. It is gradual, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. And we who with unveiled faces and reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed with his likeness. With increasing glory, it comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit. In the English Standard Version, he uses this word, describe us from degree of glory to another. And I believe that the highest calling in life is to be like Jesus. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul says, we are predestined to be conformed in the likeness of his son. So as dearly loved children, Paul admonishes us to be imitators of God. Imitators of God. So God or Christ himself should be our example. So we can walk as dearly loved of Christ, as an imitator of God, or having God as our example. Number two, in verse 2, and live a life of love just Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So as dearly loved children of God, not only that we need to live with example, but also we need to live a life of love. On the night Jesus was arrested, he gave this command to his disciples in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So take note that loving one another is not an option. No, it's not a recommendation. But loving one another is a command from Christ himself. The world will know us that we are his disciples. If what? Having a big signage of our fellowship outside, putting a big cross outside so that people could recognize us as church. But no, according to John, it's about loving one another. So it's not an option, but rather it's a strong commandment. So there's no reason for Brother Jerry not to love me. He's not suggesting to Tim, oh, that you must love Pastor Jesse. Or it's not suggestion from Brother Bob that you must love Pastor Jesse. No. It's a very strong commandment from Christ himself. Love one another. For this is the identity and trademark of every believer in Christ. This should be the trademark of the church. I don't know how you spell church in Philomat. Maybe Jerry will spell church as C-H-U-R-C-H. But we spell church in different way. It should be C-H-C-H-U-R in the middle. That's how we spell church. C-H-C-H-U-R in the middle. Because church is not a building. It's the people inside worshiping the Lord. That's church. This is just a building. So it should be C-H-C-H-U-R in the middle. Because it's people. It's fellowship. It's community that matters to God. This is just a building. So church is not a building, but you in the middle of the building. So loving one another is not an option, but a strong commandment from the Lord, because this is our trademark as believers in Christ. And it's not only confined with your brothers and your sisters, it's not only confined. Loving one another is not only confined with all those brethren, but also extended even outside. This is very difficult to do. Love your enemies. So loving one another is not just confined with the believers. Not only confined with the church, but also extended to our enemies. Love your enemies. If they are hungry, poison them. Give them something to eat. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. He even admonishes us to pray for our enemies, because that should be the trademark of every believer. So as dearly loved children of God, we need to live a life of love. In fact, he added these words in John chapter 15, verse 13. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." John echoed these words when he wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life." Love should not only in words. It's easy to say, "I love you." But John is admonishing us to love not in words, but in action. "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." That's how we show our love to others. How do we put love in action? There are three suggestions here. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 8, number one practical suggestion is that share your material blessings with those in need. like what Brother Bob announces earlier. That's according to 1 John chapter 3, 16 to 18. Second practical suggestions in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Don't make an issue of every offense or wrong done to you. Love covers a multitude of sins. Then, of course, number 3, practical suggestion. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speak the truth in love. Otherwise, don't speak at all. That's number 3. Today, we have an abundance of materials, programs, and projects to evangelize the world. But do you think we need more to reach the world for Christ? I don't think so. Jesus made it clear and simple, love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In short, he did not give the disciples a manual on witnessing. No formula, or maybe 10 easy steps. Just simply, Jesus told them, love one another as I have loved you. So as dearly loved children of God, we need to live a life of love. We need to live a life of love. Amen? Second to the last, verse 3, or number 3. But among you there must not be even hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of iniquity or of greed, because this would be improper to God's holy people. Could you just imagine? We are holy people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's our life before. But we have been transformed. We've been free from the bondage of sin. And so number 3 is that we need to live a life pleasing to God. Paul echoes the truth when he writes, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Paul even said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. First, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So as dearly loved children of God, we should live a life pleasing to him. One Hindu professor and former Arab Muslim, as quoted by the Reverend John Stott in his farewell speech in July 17, 2008 at the Keswick Convention in England, he said, if you Christian lives like Jesus Christ, India would be at your feet tomorrow. What a powerful word and challenge. If only Christians lives like Jesus Christ, that means Christ-likeness, India would be at your feet tomorrow. I believe that this is also be a challenge for every city. That if only we live as Christians or live as Christ-like, then our city will be at our feet tomorrow. If Christians were Christians, that is Christ-like, this world, there will be no more Islam today, according to that professor. Which a challenge, what a challenge to live a life pleasing to God. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 24, verse 16, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and men. Let me repeat that statement. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and men. He kept his conscience clear before God, who sees the inner heart, and before men, who only sees the exterior, the external. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 20 to 21, we want to avoid criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, where we are taking pains to do what is right and only in the eyes of the Lord, but not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. So as dearly loved children of God, as Christians, as believers of today, especially in our modern age, in modern times, we need to live a life pleasing to God. Then the last one, verse 4, nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking. We are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So, as dearly loved children of God, we should live a life of thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, speak to one another with psalms, with hymns, in spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, always, not just when you like it, but giving thanks should be always. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's hard for us to practice this verse. In everything, give thanks. But we need to, because that's what the Lord is telling us. It's easy to praise the Lord and give thanks when things are right, as I have said earlier. When all the blessings we need are in our hands. When life seems flowing smoothly and when things are in order, but suddenly things happen to change. Blessings diminish. Life is getting rough and tight. And trials and testing comes. As what Job chapter 1, 21 says, Job understood this. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever circumstances that may come along our way, as believers in Christ, we need to practice giving thanks to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, be joyful always. Be joyful. These are the words connected to thanksgiving. Be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. Verse 17. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Another verse that is difficult to understand, it's connected with this in everything give thanks, is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For all things work together for good. That love God, to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. God can turn our mourning into dancing. According to Psalms chapter 30, verse 11 to 12, in closing, you have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks to you forever. So whatever negative circumstances we are experiencing in today, God will turn it into a blessing. God will turn it into a blessing. We just need to learn to give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. So as dearly loved children of God, be imitators of God. Follow His example. Second, we need to live a life of love. We need to live a life pleasing to God. And of course, number four, a life of thanksgiving. That whatever circumstances we are facing in today, God is still in full control. Amen. Let me close this message again with a song. I like singing songs. It's an expression of my thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen.
of many tears and sorrows. I've questioned for tomorrow. There were times I didn't know from right to wrong. But in every situation, God gave me consolation that my trials came to only make me strong. through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of faces. There were times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, get those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was all His own. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word. Praise God. Come, Bob.